Hello and welcome back to another podcast. It is Cycling Mole, your cycling informant. Today I'm delighted to be joined by Mikel Honoré, currently still of Quickstep Alpha Vinyl. Hello Mikel, how are you?
All good, man. Thanks for letting me in.
Cool. Okay, so we're going to take a look back at your season. I wanted to start at the end of last year, end of 2021. You end the year in very, very good form, lots of top 10 results, incredible consistency in the second half of the season. And then, if I remember correctly, you broke a bone in your wrist and you were...
I broke the ligament.
And then you were obviously put back a little bit in your winter training. Did it have much of an impact in your winter training, or were you still able to do what you wanted to do?
No, absolutely. It had a very big impact. I mean, I wasn't able to train for almost 2 months. I remember I started just training a week before the team camp in December. So like something like 1st of December, since the Worlds, I guess it was 27 September, more or less. So a little bit more than 2 months off the bike with two surgeries, a lot of rehabilitation works, because it was a very complicated ligament, one of the most important ones in your wrist. And then I had to cancel my holidays, which was obviously something you look very much forward to. So obviously mentally it was a very hard off season and not much rest, and off the bike of course, but in terms of mental rest, not much. And then absolutely, you know, it took a lot of my base training and preparation for the season. I had to skip quite a lot of important training sessions and rush into it a little bit. But somehow, you know, I still felt quite good in the start in Valencia. I was still feeling quite good in my first race of the year. But, you know, then everything, all the shit started and I got sick and so on. And it's always impossible to say, you know, but maybe one of the reasons to getting sick, you know, is that you had to really rush. I had to really rush into everything. So I had to train too hard in too short a period. And perhaps, you know, it's obviously also my own fault to not just say, oh, guys, we take it calm. I still want to start later. I need to, but you know, I was very motivated after the season last year and wanted to come back as fast as possible in a good level. So I mean, you learn something all the time, which is good and important for the future, no?
Because you wanted to do something in the Cobbled Classics this season. So you mentioned there you start in Valenciana, you start pretty strong considering your winter, and then you get sick and have to abandon stage four. You had to abandon before stage four. What was the sickness that you got in Valenciana?
I got COVID in Valencia. So I got COVID pretty bad, actually. I had fever for almost an entire week. So I had an entire week off, then one, two easy days of training, then off to Ruta del Sol. But you know, with a week completely off and one, two trainings, it was more suffering than enjoying it. I mean, I loved the area down there, but it was just so hard racing every day. Which, you know, initially we thought would be good preparation to be ready for the openings weekend, which I look really forward to. And, you know, in the end, I didn't manage to actually do any of the classics. I came back. Then we decided we got to skip the openings weekend, because after Ruta, I got a little bit sick again. You know, I just started up too early. And, continued like this for the whole spring.
Yeah, that early part of the season, watching you, it felt like you were always behind. You are, because of obviously your winter and then your illness, you weren't at the level you wanted to be at, and it felt like it took you quite a while to get back to where you wanted to be. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was just always struggling. And when you're sick, you're not able to, or when you're a little bit sick, you're also not able to perform on the level that, you know, we are riding in professional races. So I think in every sport, more or less, no.
And that was a crazy time for the team because you had so many riders ill,
exactly.
Not even injured. Everybody seemed to be ill. The team had a bad classics campaign by its high standards.
That's just super bad luck, and really, I mean, that's also in the end when you lose so many riders in such a short time, you also, due to sickness obviously, you also get a bit frustrated, and you know you're necessary to maybe take some decisions that is not always the optimal and ideal decisions for everyone, no? So let's say a lot of riders are ill, then you have to take someone else, you know, who were not prepared to one race or whatever. And then that person maybe gets ill because he wasn't prepared. You know, it's just a bad chain reaction of things that we had in Quickstep this spring. And yeah, I mean, there's not much, I think, to do about it, and that we could have done any different anyway.
With the spring behind you, you obviously had a massive focus on making the Tour de France team, with it being in Denmark, your home. Things started to get better at Romandie and continued into Dauphiné. I mean, it's a silly thing to ask, but how motivated were you to make the Tour team?
Absolutely, it was my biggest motivation and goal for the year to make the tour in Grand Départ in Copenhagen and to pair it really well. In the end, I didn't really prepare it 100%, but I was feeling like really ready at the start. And then I had a bad, starting in the prologue with a small crash, you know. In the end, I thought nothing really happened. I just had a small impact on my right knee. So it was nothing really bad. The day after, I was still feeling super fine. And then for the rest of the tour, you know, I was just with knee pain until the last couple of days. But, you know, then the tour was almost over. So that was, I mean, an amazing experience to start and do the tour in Denmark and just do the tour in general, I think, for every rider. But yeah, for me personally, obviously disappointed with how the outcome of it was in the end.
If we go back to, I think it was Dauphiné. Was it Dauphiné when you attacked? I think it was a hilly stage, but you were almost too strong. Nobody could come with you. And then because you were solo, you were caught. So Dauphiné, you seem to be picking up really good legs.
Yeah, absolutely. I came out Dauphiné with really good legs. Then I had some difficulties also in Dauphiné, but I mean, in general, the shape was very good. I didn't get much sleep due to wisdom teeth that I have to. The day after Dauphiné, I came home, I got to the dentist, take them out. But you know, I was on antibiotics and different things doing Dauphiné to get the pain away, or painkillers, sorry. So it was not 100%, but still, I mean, like the preparation with the team in Sierra Nevada, everything went really well, and so the shape was good in Dauphiné, absolutely.
What was the presentation like at Tour de France? We all witnessed it on the TV. It must have been something unbelievably special as a Danish rider to see so many people out supporting all Danish riders and all cycling.
Yeah, it was, for me, the biggest experience so far that I ever had. To stand there, you know, where you grow up, when you walk as a kid, or with your family, or as a student, or whatsoever, and then suddenly you stand, you know, in front of such a big crowd. And you know, Denmark did really well in the European Championships the year before in football, so there was this special togetherness of the Danish people. You know, they just came through all these very good football matches. So it didn't really matter if, obviously, cycling is also very big, but I think it was a good reaction of many different events that really put the people into a special feeling, you know, because also on all the stages in the tour in Denmark, it was incredible. I think we only, you know, we almost now have 6 million people, but it was full. I think every single Dane was out on the roads those days.
And made very special by Magnus Cort going and taking the KOM jersey. I mean, I know he's a rival. He was on a rival team, but I'm pretty sure
I was so happy for him. It was, I mean, happy and yeah. I mean, what he did there was just something. I think he also said to me after the Welsh, you know, after that in the tour, it was just crazy, crazy for him. You know how he changed his name in Denmark as a rider, because you know, it's the Tour de France in Denmark. Like everybody is watching it at home, and riding in the pocket that jersey there was something special.
You mentioned you struggled through the tour. You had pain, but it didn't stop you from being very attacking in a lot of the early stages of the races. But it was maybe typical of the season you were having that you just couldn't make a break. You know, the moves that you were in were brought back and you didn't actually make a breakaway, I think, until the final week on stage 15. Did it just feel like it wasn't your race?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It was just, I mean, it's not going to be any excuses in the end, because it was just how things ended up. Difficulties getting in the right break, perhaps not, you know, with all the things that happened with the knee. I lost many occasions in the first 2 weeks because I had really knee pain. So it was also only in the last week that I could really attack, you know. Otherwise, I was just struggling to get through the stages more or less. You know, it was a very difficult and strange thing. Like I had pain in a couple of minutes, then it was gone and it came back, you know. And then you could ride quite easy, but once you had to go 100%, you got the pain back. So for many days, I said, I'm never going to be able to finish this tour. And then after the last rest day, it just, got away, luckily. And then I could start to participate a little bit more in the attacking and get somewhere.
And then just, again, some bad luck, like stage 19 looked like a very good day for the breakaway. And it just didn't happen.
Crosswind all day and everybody was nervous I mean, we had a fun day out and I said, I better leave everything on the road because next day is TT and then we are in Champs-Élysées. So I said, I'm going to take the chance and just go out and have fun.
After Tour de France, when did you start? You said you kind of felt better in the final week. Did that continue after the tour? Were you pain-free and the kind of afterwards?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I came out really motivated to you know, just come back on a very good condition and results. And so I came out even also quite fresh compared to many others from the tour. So I had a little easy week and then I went to altitude to train and prepare the next goals. For me, it was especially the World Championships. But I came to altitude and came into a very good rhythm of training, because in the end I knew what I needed to do to prepare well and to be at my 100%. And then I think I got to that level, but I just needed a little bit of, I don't want to say luck, but of things on my side in some situations, you know. For me, it would have been a nice result in Quebec to get a second place. I was caught, I think, I don't know, 10, 5 meters from the finish line and ended up, whatever, sixth or something. But yeah, I mean, it was small things. And at the World Championships as well, I think 99 out of 100 World Championships ends up with let's say strong the all the strong riders deciding everything on the last lap. But again, all chapeau to Remco of how he rode, and he did exactly what he and the Belgians should have done. And so it was a bit disappointing for me in the end. I'm very happy because I got back to my level and condition that I wanted to be, and then was small things that I missed to really get a good result.
Yeah, you ended consistently 16th in Plouay, 6th in Quebec, 11th Montreal, 15th at Worlds. At Worlds in particular, we heard a lot about the poor communication from race officials to the riders. What was your experience of that? Did you know what was going on in the race?
Yeah, not at all. I mean, every time you passed the finish line, you could see, I think the last couple of laps, I just saw the name, I saw Remco and the Belgian flag, you know, and then I said, okay, probably he's alone or he's with someone pulling, you know, but honestly, I had no idea. We had no idea. There was not any specific info, maybe a couple of times then it was for 5 seconds and you couldn't see it. So we had no info at all. Also, I mean, when the group that me and Bettiol and Fanat comes up to with, I don't know, 1.5k to go, that you know, it's like a track, you know, track sprint. I had no idea it was for bronze medal there. I thought there was still a lot of riders in the front. Then I think with 500 meters to go, the peloton, or the small peloton came past in such a high speed that I was not able to follow in. And then, it ended up like that. But I mean, I didn't know.
What was the general chat in the peloton during that time? Were people like angry? Were they frustrated?
I think probably afterwards, yeah. But in the race, everybody's just so focused, and we said, it's over. But you know, it was full speed on every climb, and then on the top, everybody stopped, and it was a bit special situation because I think everybody in the end had a rider up there. But many of the countries, I don't know, like France, they didn't have Cosnefroid or Alaphilippe up there. So, and Italy didn't have Bettiol. So it was also a difficult situation to say who should pull from behind or who should do anything. Because I think if they knew immediately that Remco would be alone, then that would be a completely different race and reaction.
Do you think it's time to have some type of race radio in a race like the World Championship?
I mean, it's always a hard thing to say, but in the end, I think the race radio is not a bad thing. It's nice also to do a couple of, like a race like Worlds once a year or something without radio at all. But still, I think you lose a little bit, at least just conscience of what's going on and so on, that it makes it difficult. But some you can also argue and say, you know, that's the beauty of the race itself. So it's difficult thing to say. For me, I wouldn't dislike that we had also a race radio, just to have better information. At least we, you know, not necessarily a race radio, but we just need better information in a World Championships. You know, you could say, it's in Australia, it's far away, they're not used to organize races, but in the end, I guess it's the UCI who's organizing everything, and the same guys on the motorbikes, so it's difficult. But for sure, when you're on a course, you can easily find some initiatives that makes it easier to understand the situation with whatever big screen that shows who is in with what group, instead of just a small one when you finish the finish line or when you pass the finish line.
So then your season finished and everybody expected another year with Quickstep. You had another year left on your contract, and then what from what seemed like nowhere, there is the announcement that you'll be joining EF Education Easy Post for the next 3 years. How and when did that come around?
Oh, it all came around after the last race of the season. So it went very quick, and it was all on one condition that I could look everybody in the eye, especially the team and Patrick, and say, this is what would be interesting and best for me to try something new. With all the respect and thanks for everything the team has done for me, because they are a big part of who I am even as a person today, not only as a cyclist. Spending almost 4.5 years in a team, being so many days, I'm more days with them than you are with your family. So it's special, and was very difficult decision, because as many know, there is a special, bond with the riders or staff in a team like that. So like I said, forever grateful for everything, but I was just looking for, having something, trying something new, and getting a new different motivation towards cycling.
So when the offer comes in, how hard was it for you personally to make the decision, okay, I'm going to, because as a risk, it's a risk to leave Quickstep. Everybody knows that Quickstep is an amazing team. You mentioned it. Not just the riders are amazing, the backroom staff,
and it's even harder when you are happy, I was not even unhappy where I was, so that makes it even harder for me to make such a decision, but sometimes you analyze and you think and you go a bit with your stomach feeling of what could be right and what you would like to try. And then I ended up with that decision. But even when I ended up and I was clear what I think would be best for me, then it was still a very difficult, very, very difficult thing to say. Because I, like I said, I was happy, and I, why not just take the full year out and do everything as normal? But then again, I said, we have such a short career in the end that even a year can be very important. And what I'm just looking forward to, to meet different people and race again in a different team and differently with a team like EF. I heard a lot about the project that they have for the future, and then I said, it could be quite fun to be part of such thing. Because I think it's not a lot what it's been looked like maybe in the past couple of years. It's very a lot of new things, and then I said, okay, I'll make the decision.
I assume you'll be moving into more of a leadership role. Obviously at Quickstep you had protected status at some races, but not all races. I would imagine that one of the things that helped you make that decision was to move into that leadership position. Personally, how do you feel about moving into that kind of leadership role? Some riders like it, some don't.
Personally, I really like it, to also have some kind of, it's easy or easy. I mean, in Quickstep, the thing is that you have such big riders like Alaphilippe, Remco, and so on, not to name everybody of them. And they have all the pressure, most of it, whereas I just go into the race, and do what you do best. Sometimes you get your own chance, sometimes not, but sometimes it's also very nice to come in and you have a very tough pressure for you behind in the team on a longer term towards some kind of a race. And that's what I'm really, really looking forward to. I mean, it's obviously I will never be a full leader in all of the races, or I don't know, half of them or whatever. But in the end, EF is racing, I think, on a quite a lot more flat hierarchy, and it gives more opportunities. And when you think about yourself, where you should race is probably where you could have more opportunities to race. And I mean, also a team like EF doesn't have a full whatever sprinter, where we in Quickstep, you know, we always had a sprinter. So there, for me, I'm also a rider. I would never win a one sprint, and I would never win full mountain stage at the moment. So I said, wow, if I have more chances to at least to try to go to breakaway or whatever, I could perhaps increase my chance of doing good results. And that's a bit, you know, yeah, what you could think of why it could be an interesting move to a team like EF.
So looking at next season, what races in the first half of the season are you looking towards?
So I mean, especially in the yeah, to start with, I look the moment. I have to say I have no idea of my program. We have obviously talked a bit about it, but we're still waiting any kind of confirmation, and everything has to get together. But I mean, personally, I would like to do the Italian spring, so like the Strade Bianche, Tirreno, Sanremo, which is some races. Since I'm also living here in Italy and being here, that I'm always loving to do, and they're very special to me. So those, I mean, the first part that I'm really looking forward to is the Italian spring, and then afterwards going up to do some of the Belgian classics, bit of, I mean, whatever you could call it, kind of a hybrid between the Flemish classics and the Ardennes. And yeah, I mean, that's what I'm really looking the most forward to. Some races in Italy, some in Belgium, with Flemish classics and a little bit of the Ardennes as well.
And I think riding for this team, you mentioned it already, you will have that freedom to attack and attack early and not have to worry about, you know, waiting for another guy in the team. So I suppose that fits in with your kind of philosophy and your mindset towards cycling.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's always, you know, you have to race how you obviously can get a most chance of winning or whatsoever. But sometimes in the end, it's actually also taking a big risk, and you need to take big risk by attacking early or doing something different or something that other riders or teams expected the least. So I think it all makes the whole sport a lot more fun and interesting as a rider, and also obviously to watch by riding a bit unexpected. And that's I mean, it's obvious also what's happened in the last couple of years with such riders like Van der Poel, Van Aert, and Pogacar, and so on. No?
Yeah. What would a successful 2023 look like for you?
Success would be absolutely, I mean, for me, a win in a cycling race. In the end, I don't want to name any race, but obviously a victory. Normally I don't like to give such results on a for or any kind of result for dependent on a happy and successful year. It can also be for me really a big team win together with the team, where you have also done a special thing. But still, for me, a win in some any kind of race, like even a stage win in a Grand Tour, hopefully. I mean, that's some of my personal goals and things for me that I'm focusing on for the next couple of years.
Because you're still, I mean, quite young. I mean, you're younger than me, that's for sure. But you're going to be 26 soon. You mentioned you've been 4.5 years at Quickstep. So it seems like you've been around quite a long time, but you still have a long time still to go.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. I mean, with the new generation and cycling coming up, you might even not feel young anymore. But I was just talking with a friend. I mean, I'm still young. I'm just turning 26 next year. And still defining yourself a bit as a rider. You know, you're constantly in progress and changing and so on. So hopefully I still have, I don't know, at least 10 years more with cycling. So it's an interesting and period coming up, and I really feel already the super motivated and looking forward to, yeah, for me, meet the whole team next week in Girona and yeah, get on for next season.
And is it nice to know that you do have another couple of Danes on the team? So you've got Michael and Magnus there as well. Is that a nice feeling to know that you've got a couple of Benjamin?
Yeah, it's always nice to have fellow nationals on the team. Like we have Michael, Magnus, even Matty Rachel as a sport director. So it's always nice and to have somebody, you know, you can always, if you have a problem, you can talk and chat with, or forever, whatever thing, you know, you understand always where you come from, your bit of your Danish humor and so on, so or Danish culture. So that's always, I mean, it's an important thing that you shouldn't underestimate going into a team that can really help you also to feel a lot more home.
One last question. So do you still love cycling as much as you did when you were growing up trying to become a professional?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I love it every day. I have to admit, I had periods also, those difficult mental periods where you didn't like it as much. But I mean, now I just feel so happy to just ride your bike, you know, and I think that's the most important thing that you also learn. And what I learned, especially with riding with, I don't know, with somebody like Alaphilippe, you know, who is such a big talent and always good at remembering everybody, to enjoying riding your bike, you know, from training to training camps and so on. We're still just humans, and we have to remember to enjoy the moment, enjoy training, you know. Not, it's easy also to get caught with all the training programs and so on by the coaches, but we're human and we have to be a bit flexible, and in the end that small flexibility can improve you also as a rider. So I love it as much, if not more, since I live in this beautiful place, riding in mountains and so on, which I really like. So yeah, going on still with cycling, absolutely.
Well, Michael, thank you. Mikael, thank you very much for giving up your time tonight, and best of luck for next season and your move to EF Education Easy Post.
Thanks, mate. Thank you so much. Spectacular diagnostics. Full kumite, accumulate papes. First razor blade for the gig, we move from weight to win the weight. Wise ways, precise aim. Trying to rhyme like this might leave your mind strained. The times change, flight delayed like haze. Thoughts looking like they foundation might cave. The look in my eyes resemble the ice age. The clocks of the crowd, the rent park is way park waves. Like moves on, move raw. Involuntarily eat your full paw. Feel like a painter who can't do wrong. Fallatio from lazy do fall to Paul Kane. But brought a broad brain with it all game. You slow change, you do like a sonic grand, probably 10. We push it in the hallway, on guard always.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Nag Daddy. Oh, yeah. I feel like, should be fossilized in amber. Wise commander, fuck all the lies and slanders. When it come to ill niggas, you sound like a standard. Feathers and quillers, I write the standards. Cobra, cuanto tu me cobra. Tengo dinero, pero no me sobra. You want the flake of the boulder, then I'm introducing the baking soda. Ain't the Yoda Palace, it's a golden. So blowing haze in circles in Minnesota. Buffaloes in their barrio. Drama with Disco King Mario. Shotty blow in the hands of the Sicario. I reload the pill off without watching his body fall. Porky ass and the mighty gone. Rainbow headband, Sylvester Stallone. Skull and bone, herringbone, wishbone. Went out for the trophy and brought the shit home. Blowing loud indo. Chop the rock, 16-bit Super Nintendo. The cream rises in a crescendo, nigga. Well, now your daddy kicking
You know what I mean? Jump off the motherfucking cliff live out the district, shit, my nigga. Word. Woo.